So this morning's reading is Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them from my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thanks, Gary. Well, good morning. My name's Scott. If I haven't met you yet, welcome this morning. So great to have you with us. I hope you had a great Christmas, and I'd love to meet you over a cuppa afterwards. You'll find there inside your handouts, there's a little outline there, and you can follow along. That will be helpful. You'll also find inside your handouts, if you open that up, in the middle there, you'll notice that after the sermon, there'll be time for some questions based on what we're looking at this morning. And there's a phone number there, so you can text your questions in while we're going, if you like, during the sermon. You got a question, just send that to that number. And why don't we stop and pray, since this is God's word, and we need His Spirit to be at work in us so that we can understand it and receive it and be transformed by it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm, this song that was written by David, celebrating the fact that we are known by you. And Lord, we pray that as we read it, we will understand how great and wonderful it is that you know and love your people, how right it is that your justice comes to your enemies. And Lord, we pray you'll transform our hearts, that we'll be filled with joy and praise for those things. Amen. Well, we all long, as Andrew's reminded us this morning, to be known, don't we? We want to be known. We want to have relationship, real connection. We go beyond the shallow and the superficial to know that actually, no, this person really gets me. They really understand me. They know what makes me tick. They know my ups, my downs, and they still accept me. See, our obsession in our world today is all about this, isn't it? Our obsession with our how we express ourselves with our appearance and the choices that we make and our social media, with what we say and reveal about ourselves, with friends, with someone we've just met, the things that we do, the pronouns that we call ourselves, our homes and our cars, and the way that we feel we need to kind of justify why we did something and explain ourselves for why this was a really good... All of those things are because we long deep down to be known. And we long to be known. But actually being known is also simultaneously kind of this really terrifying thing, right? Because the thought of anyone knowing me completely is absolutely terrifying and scary. Because if someone knew me completely, even my kids or my wife, if they knew everything about me, I don't think they would still love me or accept me or validate who I am. See, because ultimately we don't want to just be known for the sake of being known. We want to be known for the sake of being accepted, validated. See, this longing in us, the longing to be known and accepted, but then the fear of being known and rejected clashes all the time. See, it drives us in these different directions. And what does it mean? Well, it means that actually we do what we can for people to know us, so they'll accept us, but actually that the image, the identity, the self that we put forward is often heavily curated, heavily shaped, heavily managed and polished to be a kind of self that we think will be acceptable. We keep hidden those things that we think no one would ever accept. And so we see that so much. I found this quote from an author who I've never read. I have no idea if her stuff's worth reading at all. Just found it. Jeanette Winterson says this: "We all want to be known, but we also want to remain strangers. Don't you, when strangers and friends come to call, straighten the cushions, kick the books under the bed, and put away the letter you were writing? How many of us want any of us to see us as we really are? Isn't the mirror hostile enough?" In other words, in the mirror, we see enough of ourselves to know, actually, there's plenty of me here that is not to like. I really don't want people to see that because then they will reject me. Now, you think about it, right? Like it's what we see in our world now really shows that. For some of us, the thought of being accepted is so strong, that drive, that desire. We see people that kind of really just throw themselves out there and just desperate for someone to know them and love them and validate them. We see people get tangled up in all kinds of unhealthy relationships and scenes and environments out of this desire to be known and loved. But then for others of us, or maybe even the same of us at different times, we go the exact opposite way. We're so scared of people seeing the real us and rejecting us that we pull away. We hold back, we put up the barriers and the walls, and we go into hiding. Well, how wonderful a picture this song we just read paints for us. A picture of the child who is known by God. A picture of being fully known, but without any fear. Overflowing with joy. Joy that we are known completely. Joy that our Creator knows everything about us but still loves us. Comfort that He doesn't pretend that actually all these parts of us, well, they're not really that bad. They're not really unlovely. He doesn't pretend that we're perfect the way we are. but he loves us and leads us in a different direction. I think in our current cultural climate, we can really see this struggle at work. In a real great example of that is this kind of gender fluidity that's going on at the moment. Who I am is a messy, broken preteen. I'm not really, just imagine. But as a preteen, my self-awareness is growing. I'm coming to realize more deep things about myself. I come to see things that I don't like, that I feel guilt and shame about, I'm not comfortable with. And enough people have seen enough of me to have rejected me already. And so I don't want to let that happen again. And in this world where it's constantly telling me that I need to find the true me, my authentic self, somewhere tucked down in there. And if I can just find my true, authentic self, and if I can let that out, it'll be wonderful. People will accept and embrace me for who I really am. But I'm so desperate that I've convinced myself that maybe I've gotten it wrong. I must have gotten it wrong, because if my true self is lovely and myself has come out and people haven't loved me, well, then I must have been wrong about who I am. Maybe I've been confused about something as central to me as my gender. Maybe my true self isn't a boy but a girl. Isn't a girl but a boy. And if I fix that, the true me will come out. And then people will love me, accept me and validate me. And I'll be able to love and accept myself. Now, every generation has its own unique suggestions for what our authentic self might be. But at the heart of it all, we're driven by these deep desires, a longing to be known, a fear of being known and rejected, a desire to be accepted. Well, let's have a look at this wonderful psalm and the completely different picture that it paints. Wonderful knowledge, point one. Have a look at verse 1 there in Psalm 139. Make sure you keep those Bibles and phones handy on Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word's even on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I can't fathom how amazing that is. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Well, even if I go up all the way to the heavens, you're there. If I make my beds in the depths of the ocean, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far sides of the sea. See, God knows everything about me, and God knows everything about you. What you do, what you eat, what you say, what you think. He knows what time you put down your phone and finally lay your head on your pillow and go to sleep. And it turns out he actually knew all this way before he created the world. He's always known this. Have a look at verse 16. God, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of those days came to be. All the good, all the bad, all the disgusting, all the wonderful. Every day, every minute, every hour, God knew. He saw before he made us. And it should terrify us, shouldn't it? It should be terrifying to know that the God who's in control, who sits in heaven, holds our life in his hands, knows everything about us. It should be terrifying, because we know that knowing everything about us means he knows an incredible lot of awful stuff about us. See, if I was God and I knew what I was going to be like, I would not have made me. And yet, look, David celebrates that God knew all that, and he still did. Verse 13. You, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. See, God knew inside out who and what we would be and what we would do and what we would say and what we would think and how we would act. And he still made us fearfully and wonderfully. And he made us because he loves us and cares about us. And he wants to be in relationship with us. And he wants us to know him. See, a real relationship isn't just when one person knows another. It's when two people know each other. God knows us and made us so that we can know him as we're known by him. And it's incredible to think this. I don't know if you've ever thought this. I don't know. Have you ever kind of thought, what does God do? What's God thinking about? There's a lot of big things going on in the world, right? You know, he's got to keep the stars spinning and planets twirling, whatever. I don't know what they do. He's got to keep, you know, our lungs beating and the fish swimming. And God's looking after everything. We wouldn't think that he would have time to think about us. But have a look at verse 17. It seems that God never stops thinking about you and me. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I was to count how often you think of me, the number of times you think of me would outnumber all the grains of the sand on all the beaches of the world. Isn't that incredible? God is thinking about you and me. And of all the things he could be thinking, he's thinking precious thoughts. Towards his people, towards those who love him and have accepted his son, the thoughts that he has towards us are of love, of mercy, of kindness, of joy, of acceptance. Precious, precious thoughts. He sees us completely in all our filthiness, and he still thinks precious thoughts. We are fully known and fully accepted. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Isn't it wonderful to stand there before God, spiritually naked, and know that he doesn't turn his face away? No, he looks on us in love. Precious, precious thoughts. So I have a question for you. Do you know God in such a way that makes you love that he knows you? Do you know who God is? Know how precious his thoughts are to you? That actually the knowledge that he knows you completely brings you comfort and joy and makes you go, yes, I am glad that he knows me. See, we can only be known like that if we're led by God. Wonderful knowledge, wonderful guidance. Have a look at verse 7. David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I get away from your presence, Lord? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your right hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Verse 23. David cries out to God, "Search me, God. God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting." God's guidance is wonderful. Because if there's a way that's everlasting, there's a way that isn't. See, we know, don't we, the answer. God, just have a look and tell me if there's anything offensive about me. What's the answer to that question? Of course there is. If he was to give me a list, I wouldn't in my whole lifetime be able to read it all. See, not everyone who is known by God is loved and accepted by God. Only those who are led by him, guided by him. Only those who come to him for him to reveal our offensive ways, for him to reveal our wickedness and our sin and our guilt and our filthiness. Only those who God has shown us who we really are, and we've realized, actually, my true self is not acceptable. My true self is not lovable. My true self is not good. And then he points us in the way to Jesus, the one man whose true self was perfect. Was absolutely beautiful, is absolutely beautiful, is good. And he's guided us on the way to Jesus at the cross and said, you know, the way that you have this dealt with, the way that you are forgiven, the way that this offensiveness is taken away is to come to Jesus, to trust in him and his forgiveness and his mercy and grace. See, it's only those who are led by him to turn away from our offensiveness and trust in Jesus. It's only them who he accepts. Only them who are fully known and fully loved. See, God won't guide us like this world does into just making a better avatar. Now, who knows what an avatar is? I'm sure all our kids and teenagers know. You know, if you're playing a game or something, you make this little character. It's your avatar. It's kind of you. And the thing is that you can make your avatar whatever you want it to be. So if I want to make myself look a little bit buffer, a little bit taller, you know, whatever, fix my receding hairline, whatever it is, I can do that. It's my avatar. I can give myself a tail if I want, and for some reason, many people do. But our world encourages us to do that, not just on our computers, but in real life, with our lives, to create this self that is a projected image, not of who we truly are, but of who we wish we truly were. God doesn't guide us in that direction. God guides us to recognize who we truly are, to recognize that who we truly are is not truly wonderful, to recognize that this other version of ourself doesn't fix anything, but actually in Jesus we can be known, forgiven, accepted. He guides us to then live a new self, a transformed self, a changed self that denies our sinful desires, that doesn't try to cover up and hide and mask who we are, that actually is guided to follow and imitate and reflect Jesus. So his guidance is freedom from that fear of being found out and exposed. It's freedom from that slavery to have to keep on this avatar, this front, this fake. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be known and guided by him. So I've got a second question. Do you know God in such a way that makes you long for his guidance? That makes you welcome him revealing your offensiveness? That makes you long for him to bring you to the cross, to Jesus, where our sins are forgiven, where our guilt and our offensiveness is taken away, and makes you long for him to lead us in our new self to live and act like him? Well, when God has done that, he makes us rethink how we see the world around us and how we see those who reject Point three, wonderful justice. Now, this next little bit might have come as a bit of a shock as we read through. Maybe a bit jarring. Verse 19. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. He's just been talking about how wonderful it is to be known by God. How did he get here? Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you, God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. How did he get from, it's so wonderful that you know me and love me and accept me, and I hate those who hate you? How does that fit together? Well, it fits together because he knows God. Because he knows that God knows him with all his faults and his offensiveness and forgave him. And so he knows that when this is the God that the people he sees around him are speaking evil of, are misusing his name, are railing against, he knows just what an injustice that is. Hang on, don't you know that this God knows you, every bit about you, and he's offering you forgiveness, and yet you want to shake your fist at him? You want to give him the middle finger? See, his response is about justice. Justice that this God, who is so wonderful, should not be treated as if he is a tyrant. At the end of the day, it's about God's glory. God deserves to be known as he truly is. He deserves for us to really know what he is like, and what he is like is wonderful. And so those who hate God, they do a terrible injustice to who he is. A little bit like dead-naming God. And so I wonder if you long for that justice. I wonder if you know God in such a way that makes you passionate for him to be known in his true self, to be acknowledged as the wonderful and loving and gracious God that he is, that makes you jealous for justice against those who abuse him. As we come to the end, I wonder, can you read or even sing this psalm with David and sing it with your whole heart? Yes, it is wonderful that I'm known. It is wonderful to be guided by you. And actually, it is wonderful that one day your justice will come. Do you think it's wonderful? Do you know how wonderful it is to be known and forgiven and accepted? I'm going to leave you with a question of the day. You'll see it at the bottom of your sermon outline there. Do you know God in a way that makes you love being known, long for his guidance, and passionate for his glory? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm. We pray that through the rest of the day and all of this coming week, that this psalm will be in our minds and on our hearts, and that we would come to truly see how truly wonderful it is to be known by you, to be guided by you, to be led to the cross where all of our sin is exposed and forgiven and taken away, and that we would see how wonderful it is that people who abuse you will be brought to justice. Amen.